Welcome to episode 184 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. My name is Steve Webb. I'm your host, and I'm so glad you're with me today, wherever you may be. As I look at the data that I get from the Amazon cloud server where you download the show from, I know that some of you are as far away from me as South Africa, India, Australia, and all points in between. This LifeSpring family may be spread far and wide, but we truly are brothers and sisters, and I'm happy that we have this daily method of connecting. Today we'll conclude our reading of Acts with chapter 28, and this week's translation is the Contemporary English Version. Let's begin. Acts chapter 28. When we came ashore, we learned that the island was called Malta. The local people were very friendly, and they welcomed us by building a fire, because it was rainy and cold. After Paul had gathered some wood and had put it on the fire, the heat caused a snake to crawl out, and it bit him on the hand. When the local people saw the snake hanging from Paul's hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer. He didn't drown in the sea, but the goddess of justice will kill him anyway." Paul shook the snake off into the fire and wasn't harmed. The people kept thinking that Paul would either swell up or suddenly drop dead. They watched him for a long time, and when nothing happened to him, they changed their minds and said, "This man is a god." The governor of the island was named Publius, and he owned some of the land around there. Publius was very friendly and welcomed us into his home for 3 days. His father was in bed, sick with a fever and stomach trouble, and Paul went to visit him. Paul healed the man by praying and placing his hands on him. After this happened, everyone on the island brought their sick people to Paul, and they were all healed. The people were very respectful to us, and when we sailed, they gave us everything we needed. 3 months later, we sailed in a ship that had been docked at Malta for the winter. The ship was from Alexandria in Egypt and was known as the Twin Gods. We arrived in Syracuse and stayed for 3 days. From there we sailed to Rhegium. The next day a south wind began to blow, and 2 days later we arrived in Puteoli. There we found some of the Lord's followers, who begged us to stay with them. A week later we left for the city of Rome. Some of the followers in Rome heard about us and came to meet us at the Market of Appius and at the Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and was encouraged. We arrived in Rome, and Paul was allowed to live in a house by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days after we got there, Paul called together some of the Jewish leaders and said, "My friends, I have never done anything to hurt our people, and I have never gone against the customs of our ancestors. But in Jerusalem I was handed over as a prisoner to the Romans. They looked into the charges against me and wanted to release me. They found that I had not done anything deserving death. The Jewish leaders disagreed, so I asked to be tried by the emperor. But I don't have anything to say against my own nation. I am bound by these chains because of what we people of Israel hope for. This is why I've called you here to talk about this hope of ours." The leaders replied, "No one from Judea has written us a letter about you, and not one of them has come here to report on you or to say anything against you. But we would like to hear what you have to say. We understand that people everywhere are against this new group." They agreed on a time to meet with Paul, and many of them came to his house. From early morning until late in the afternoon, Paul talked to them about God's kingdom. He used the law of Moses and the books of the prophets to try to win them over to Jesus. Some of the leaders agreed with what Paul said, but others did not. Since they could not agree among themselves, they started leaving. But Paul said, "The Holy Spirit said the right thing when he sent Isaiah the prophet to tell our ancestors, 'Go to these people and tell them, you will listen and listen, but never understand. You will look and look, but never see. All of you have stubborn hearts. Your ears are stopped up and your eyes are covered. You cannot see or hear or understand. If you could, you would turn to me and I would heal you.'" Paul said, "You may be sure that God wants to save the Gentiles, and they will listen." For 2 years, Paul stayed in a rented house and welcomed everyone who came to see him. He bravely preached about God's kingdom and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ, and no one tried to stop him. May God bless the reading of His Word. I'm sure you remember how much the Jews in Jerusalem hated Paul, how they wanted him killed, and how they lied about him. Did you notice something surprising in today's reading about the leaders here in Malta? In verse 21 we read, "The leaders replied, No one from Judea has written us a letter about you, and not one of them has come here to report on you or to say something against you. Did you notice that? What did you make of it? It sounds like Paul's desire to have his case heard in Rome is paid off. It seems that the Jewish leaders from Jerusalem dared not tell their lies to Caesar. And then these Jewish leaders here in Caesar's backyard said that they wanted to hear what Paul had to say, and that they understood, quote, that people everywhere are against this new group, unquote. Now, this translation that we're using today is a bit weak, actually. Other, more literal translations render the word that we see here as group as sect, which was a way to discount or run it down. They didn't take it seriously because they had heard correctly that the Christ followers were not well thought of. And isn't it the same way today? In much of the world, we are thought of as intolerant, unintelligent, etc. Well, Paul's response to the Jewish leaders was to quote Isaiah, and I think it's a good response today as well. To paraphrase, it says, "You listen and don't understand. You look and don't see. You're stubborn, your ears are plugged up, and you're blindfolded. You can't see or hear or understand. If you could, you would turn to me and I would heal you." My friend, the way to bring unbelievers to a place where they meet the Savior is not to argue, but to pray for their eyes and their ears to be opened. All the arguing in the world will not change their mind. They must be touched by the Holy Spirit and given spiritual sight and spiritual hearing. A reminder before I go today. Again, today we heard some names that for some could be a bit tricky to pronounce. My book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide, has the names we heard today and about 7,400 more with every spelling from every English Bible translation. So if you're a Bible study leader, a homeschool teacher, a pastor, a lectionary reader, or just a student of the Bible, and you're tired of stumbling over difficult Bible names or being embarrassed when you try to read them in public, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide can help you. And now is the time to pick up your copy, because on February 1st, the price is going up. You can download your own copy at easybiblenamesguide.com right now for just $5.99. But on February 1st, 2015, the price is going up to $15.99. It took 2 years for me to research and compile this resource, and a lot of folks have told me that I'm crazy to sell it for just $5.99, so I've decided to listen to them. But I wanted to give you fair warning before the price goes up. Head over to easybiblenamesguide.com and get yours today for just $5.99. It's a digital download, so it can be on your hard drive in no time, and you'll never stumble over a hard Bible name again. It's fun to have names like Gadira Thaim and Nergal Sharezer just roll off your tongue, and your friends and neighbors will be amazed at your new mad skills. EasyBibleNamesGuide.com. Thanks for being with me today. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.